mother of the year over here.
I knew it. I knew that's what you were going to say.
Pelting our child with a snowball.
I feel horrible. Right in the face.
A Christmas Story style. Yeah. Right in the fucking
face.
Knocked
off her glasses and everything.
Christmas Story style.
Yeah, I felt terrible.
And this is in the midst of having COVID scares in the house.
Yeah, or just a bad stomach bug that she had the day before. And she finally felt better this morning. So we went to go outside and play in the snow.
We're just going to assume COVID scares.
It could, yeah, who knows? I mean, but everything is going around. But yeah, went to go play in the snow today because she couldn't enjoy it yesterday. And we were out there for like maybe 10 minutes. And she had just started to really kind of have fun and get used to it. And we started having a snowball fight. And I have to work on my aim. I mean, she's a pretty small target.
Hey, child, look. Boom.
Yep. Right in the face.
Right in the face.
That was the end of our snow day.
It's all right.
And I spent the rest of the day apologizing.
So welcome back to the first official episode of season two, sort of, right?
Yeah.
All right, so I'm Adam.
I'm Cindy. Mother of the year.
Yeah. And so I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with the COVID scares right now. Quite a few people that we know have it that are vaccine boosted. Mm. And this episode's not about COVID. The reason why I bring this up is that it really brings me back to when we started the podcast. And it was because... Well, I shouldn't say this is the reason, but a motivating factor was due to the pandemic. And we're like, fuck it. We have so much time.
Right. We were quarantined in the beginning. Yep.
Yeah. And, here
and now we're quarantined
we're
again.
We're back. And I'm sure a lot of parents can relate to this, but, you know, you got to find ways to keep your children occupied. And inevitably, the television is sort of a fallback. It's inevitable. You can't avoid it. I oftentimes feel a little gross being like, here, just watch something. But got to sneak in catnap somehow. But watching Paw Patrol, I realized.
Oh, God.
Those motherfuckers, you know, if I lived in Adventure Bay and I was a cop or a policeman, I'd be pissed. Because you don't have a job. Like, their first thing is to call... Like, at least with Batman, the first line of defense is to call the cops. Mm-hmm. And when the cops are like, we can't. This is way out of our control. They throw up the signal, and it's mm-hmm. Batman time.
Mm-hmm.
The citizens just go straight for Paw Patrol.
Yeah.
And there's one cop, and it's a dog. There's one cop, one firefighter... And they're fucking dogs. They are eliminating jobs.
Oh my God.
For millions of citizens that could potentially be living in Adventure Bay. And not to mention, notwithstanding, there are like five citizens in Adventure Bay. So maybe that's why it makes sense.
That's not true.
I don't know. My point is if you are an aspiring firefighter or a cop, Adventure Bay is not the place to
be. Not the place to go. No.
Those motherfuckers.
You think way too much
like
about
imagine
this.
Imagine going through all this training and you lose your job opportunity to a puppy.
It's a children's show.
It's not well thought out.
I mean, they're all a little weird. Let's not get into Cocomelon.
Okay. This is like the new version of Power Rangers. I said that to you before because like so watching Paw Patrol, I'm like, okay, so they announced their names. And they're color coordinated.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing as like Ninja Turtles.
And they have their go-to vehicle, kind of like the Power Rangers.
And the Power Rangers, it's the same thing. But at least that was badass. Like at least Power Rangers were, okay, we're only going to fight giant alien creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Any crime we'll leave to the cops.
Sure.
Paw Patrol just takes over.
They do. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter what it is. Apparently, even if like... A bird is out of its nest. Oh, gotta call the Paw Patrol.
Oh, is that the episode you watched today?
I don't know. I'm just saying you can't call animal control. You know, because if you called animal control, they'd probably control the puppies.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Full circle.
And now there's no more Paw Patrol.
Good job.
And not to mention this boy.
Oh my God.
That is the leader of the Paw Patrol, can drive a fucking tour bus.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Where's his parents? Like, no one cares to ask where his parents... You know what? His parents were cops and or firefighters.
They had to move.
And he's like, fuck that. I'm taking over. And he took over. All right.
And you made fun of me for speculating about Cocomelon and the theories around that.
No, I didn't make fun of you. I knew that was legit.
Oh, okay.
I have my theories about Gabby's dollhouse.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. We should do a whole other episode on this.
Okay, that's fine. What are we talking about today? What is the topic du jour? Is that what it means?
Yes. That means of the day.
Oh.
Yes.
French.
Yes. So yeah, we're going to talk about the idea behind shedding your social media account, specifically Facebook. Or taking a break from it, deleting it altogether, deleting the app, moving to a different social media platform. There's a lot of directions that people go with, you know, the idea of a social media break. So we're going to, I think, focus on Facebook because that's the one that I think gives people the most cringy moments.
This is a topic. I think this is the first topic that we're putting out there that we haven't done. In other words, half-assed it.
You've taken some of the steps that I think we're going to touch on, but neither of us have completely deleted our Facebook account altogether.
I have before.
But not permanently. Yeah, that's another nuance.
Drives me back in.
Yeah. And I think some of the discussion today might sort of tie in with our very first episode, which I thought was, we realized that after the fact. But I think that's kind of interesting. Our first episode ever was about using social media as parents and how we're approaching social media in terms of specifically like sharing pictures of our kids and stuff.
Right.
So I think it's kind of cool that we're going full circle back to, you know, our first episode of this season is a similar topic to last. So we might reference some of the discussion from that original episode.
Okay.
But yeah.
So how do we want to start? Do you want to start with reasons why you feel compelled to delete your Facebook or jump off social media if you do? And if you don't, why don't you? Or if you do, why haven't you? Like, is that what we're doing?
Yeah, I guess we could just talk about our feelings about it and explain the directions we've gone or are going. And then in the second half, we can talk about the polls that we did and
everybody else.
Yeah, the other answers and, you know, takes we got.
Do you want to start?
No, you can go.
You want it to be me? Okay. Yeah. So I understand the addictive nature of Facebook and Instagram in particular. I'd like to personally, I know it is social media, but I don't necessarily include Twitter in this bag of like jumbledness.
Wow. Okay.
Because Twitter is, it has the ability to be far more informative. And it depends on what, because my experience with Twitter is very sports related.
Right.
So I have the benefits of getting like early news flashes or injury reports or trades that just happen immediately.
Yeah, like breaking news type
through
stuff.
Through Twitter. So I find, I don't think you get that through Instagram and Facebook. And if you do, I'm unaware of how.
I think, so this, I don't mean to take over from you, but this is one of the reasons I was going to say is why I stay on Facebook is because I follow certain news outlets like NPR or The Times or, you know, that sort of thing.
You do and that they on Twitter?
I could, but I just don't use Twitter. We can talk more about that if you
want.
But those stories come up as breaking news right at the top of my feed all the time.
Right, because those are the pages that you go to the most.
But, right, that's the algorithm.
So usually on when it comes to sports, they're breaking the news on Twitter.
Sure. Yeah.
And you have to be on Twitter. I guess you don't have to be. You'll get it eventually. But the immediate break is always on Twitter.
Well, that makes sense for the reason that you're using Twitter is because you want those immediate real-time updates.
Right. So that's why I don't, you know, include Twitter in this. But when it comes to Facebook and Instagram, I understand the addictive nature, especially the doom scrolling and whatnot. If I had to choose, I would choose Instagram as a social media platform.
Even though I think we should just acknowledge that they're owned by the same.
Yeah.
They're basically the same.
Meta,
yeah.
I would prefer, if I was to choose one, it would be Instagram, only because I'm sure the comment sections on certain pictures gets toxic, but I just feel like Facebook
and the DMs.
I feel like Facebook is known for this.
Yes.
In groups and whatnot. And
so I think that's one of the things that does distinguish the two platforms. There's at least the way that I use it, I've never been invited to join a group on Instagram. Like that's not a thing on that platform. It's,
you can organize on Facebook.
Yes. And I think that's the biggest reason why, or one of the major reasons why Facebook has been, highlighted so much in terms of the political misinformation and disinformation. And, you know, we just passed the first the anniversary of the insurrection on January 6th and what a big part Facebook played in the organization of that. And, you know, anything from like all the anti-vax misinformation and that is, you know, rampant on Facebook. I don't see that even as much on Instagram. But I really don't use Twitter. But it's my understanding that type of misinformation is just as prevalent on Twitter.
You can get ratioed pretty hard on Twitter, depending on your take. But it's very, I don't want to say anonymous because you are out there. But there's just so much information happening and at such fast speed on Twitter that it's hard to keep up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was watching the Bills game today, and there's a prominent Bills Twitter account, and he posted something in the first or second quarter, and then someone responded to that in the fourth, and the original poster said this was a tweet that's 2 hours old.
Yeah.
And that's considered ancient.
Old news,
on Twitter.
Right.
So it's really hard to, I don't want to say keep up, but it gets stale quick.
Whereas Facebook, you can have shit resurface from 2 years ago and people start talking about it again it's current.
Yeah.
And that just happened, total tangent, in our local town Facebook group, which we both belong to just for, you know, some practical information gets shared on there, but it's mostly a shit show. Someone reposted a picture of like a weird animal that they caught on their game camera or something, asking people to try to identify it. And people kept commenting like, this isn't we just had snow. So there was no snow in the picture.
So people were
like, when is this? And she's like, oh, this was from like 2 years ago. But I was just curious because I had never gotten an answer. It's like, and now that starts circulating as if it's something current.
Yeah. Well, I think that is the biggest thing about Facebook compared to something like Twitter is that, yes, that you have your own little respective communities on Twitter. And again, I've utilized them with the South of the Six podcast that I used to do with the Raptors Twitter. That was clutch. And having that sort of outlet to interact with people that live in Canada or anywhere on the globe talking about the Raptors, I don't know that you can do that on Facebook. I'm sure you could, but I don't think it's as interactive during a game.
Right. Well, I think it seems to me like the hashtag is way more prevalent on
Twitter. Yes.
And you can intentionally use that to create those connections and that sort of community or whatever. Like that's the way of sort of organizing, for lack of a better word, on Twitter.
Right.
Versus Facebook, I think, is basically entirely based on algorithm.
Well, and also with Facebook, what I was going with this is the community that you are in on Facebook is usually very familial. Yes, familial.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's local. And if you're not, I'm not saying there aren't other groups like the crazy QAnons or whatever, they're in their own groups, but I would argue that the vast majority of people that are on Facebook right now and don't delete it is to keep up with their family.
Yeah, right. And I think both Instagram and Twitter are more similar in that regard, that
no one cares what I post on Twitter in my family.
Right. And it's more like with the news and celebrities too.
Right.
I think you have the opportunity to interact with, maybe not directly interact, but you know, like you see their stories and you see their tweets. That doesn't really happen on Facebook.
I mean, it does eventually transfer over to Facebook, but it originates in Twitter, kind of like the breaking news.
And on Facebook, though, I guess it's the same. You have to be following the Well, you wouldn't necessarily have to be following the person on Twitter if they just hashtagged something that you were interested in.
But I have to click on the hashtag.
Sure.
So I have to intentionally go to the hashtag.
But then you will see the things that people posted specific to that topic versus Facebook is just based on shit you've clicked on before.
Or other people that have clicked on.
Yeah.
In my newsfeed. So I guess this is a long-winded way of saying most people that are on Facebook right now are doing it so they can keep up with their family, and which is strange for us because we have posted, going back to the first episode of the podcast in season one, we have intentionally said we don't post anything about our children on Facebook. We don't.
On social media at all.
Yeah. In the public spheres of social media.
We have a private app with family members where we share photos.
And we also don't post at all. I don't. You post way more than me when it comes to your interest on Facebook. And it's not, when I say way more, it's probably
like maybe once a month.
Yeah.
At best.
And I just repost like a podcast that I do with my buddies to say, hey, it's up, guys, check it out. Or I don't even know what else I do. I think that's it. I'll reshare the Blue Jays podcast that I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
Or events. We have used Facebook to organize events.
Yes, yes.
With friends and family. It's, like you said, very familial and local. I mainly use Facebook for sharing, fundraisers for...
Your birthday.
Organizations that I'm, trying to raise money for. Or, sharing things for, debunking misinformation. It's like I'm...
It's no longer social
against the current, but
we sound so old, but when Facebook was in its prime, seriously, when I look at Facebook to be in its prime, late 2000s,
mm-hmm.
early 2010s,
yep.
Is when it was just like you're posting pictures from the night before, you're commenting with your friends in the room.
Right, right.
Or you're making weird cartoons of your friends and yourself, and posting them or whatever. That was old school Facebook, and it was innocent.
And it's the most embarrassing thing to look back on now. But
drama would still stir up because we were young and stupid.
Sure, and it's like it's almost like I remember using it as a way to post if I was with a certain person or out in a certain place,
somewhere.
Like, and someone else wasn't.
Yeah, you hope that they see it. It's vindictive, or it was. Now. Maybe it's because I'm older. I don't know if younger people can speak to this. I just don't see the need.
Yeah.
And calling back to that episode that I referenced that we did in season one, I don't see the need, A, because it's not information worth sharing, and B, no one cares. So before I would say, I'm doing this new workout. And then, reflecting 10 years later, I'm just like, no one fucking cares. No one cares.
I look back at my old statuses and I'm like giving my whole itinerary for the day.
Yeah.
And I'm like, not only does no one care.
It's dangerous.
It's dangerous. Yeah. And checking in at places constantly. Remember when we used to check in all the time?
Yeah. No.
Not you. Sorry. I didn't mean you and I. I meant we collectively, our generation, our peers. Every time we went out somewhere to a bar or a restaurant, whatever. We checked in.
Yeah, and now it's become a shit show. So, why haven't... All this to come to the topic today, the topic du jour, why haven't I deleted it? I deleted the app.
Yeah.
I think there's value in... I understand why people want it to keep in touch. Again, I use it only really on the desktop, or on my Mac, rather. And it's, to reshare the podcast that I'm a part of. It's just a different form of... sort of marketing the material.
Which has been, that you've reached at least a few different people who are only on Facebook.
Yeah, it's very, compared to Twitter, at least for the sports, Twitter is where to do it.
Mm-hmm.
With this show, it was primarily Facebook because...
It's a live broadcast.
Well, let's face it, a lot of our topics geared towards parents or if not parents... I don't know, people in our generation that still cling on to Facebook.
Sure.
And so that's how you reach them. And I'm not saying Instagram doesn't have that sort of benefit as well, but it's mostly Facebook. I think Instagram was starting to creep up in the activity, So the reason I didn't delete Facebook before is I still want to be part of Messenger. And now I found out, you don't need Facebook to have Messenger. All you need is a phone number. So I'm just at
the
point.
You don't need an account.
No, I'm just at like, why don't I just delete it then?
But if all you need is your phone number, then can't you just connect with those people by text message?
But we're already in established group chats.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
You know, and like fantasy football group chats and stuff.
Right. And that's better to have on a messenger app than on your text.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And again, added benefit, creating events. I cannot think of how to create an event now without a Facebook account that can reach as many people with clear, concise understanding. You can send text, but people are going to be like, when is this? What's the date?
Like, right. If
it will
a,
get lost
but if it's
in
a
the shuffle.
Formal thing, right. If it's just like a casual getting, you know, 10 or 15 people together to go out for dinner for
a
birthday.
Yeah,
like,
you'll figure it out.
But if it's like when we plan our kids' birthday parties, we send actual invitations.
So that's
in the
other
mail.
People are probably screaming, why don't you just send something in the mail? Of course you could. I'm just saying when it comes to a surprise birthday like, party for you, if I were to do that, I'm not sending out invitations.
Right.
I'm just
Or if it's something more informal or casual, it's not something you mail a paper invitation for.
Like, or if you got a promotion, celebrate Cindy's promotion. I'm not sending out invitations for that. And I'm not.
Well, why not?
Why? Yeah. I'm saying I'm not going to order invitations and send them out
in
the
promotion.
Mail.
Sorry, I was thinking like a retirement party.
No,
like
no,
people
no.
do send stuff out.
No,
for
no,
that.
No. Like, it's just an impromptu thing.
Yeah,
like, hey, next weekend we're all getting together.
Grab drinks. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just easier for me to just do that on Facebook. So
what a world where we could just say, hey, next week we're getting together to grab drinks
and
celebrate.
You know what I mean?
We're
not
a pandemic.
That
sounds like a different life.
But when it, you know, you could do that in an email, but again, it just gets lost in the shuffle. I see your phone and other people's phones, and I don't understand how you guys live with having so many red numbers on your phone, on your email. It fucking stresses me out. I see thousands of unread emails.
Oh, no, like, I cleaned that up.
I'm just like,
year.
How do you live? How do you do that?
I clean mine up.
Yeah.
And it annoyed the shit out of me, too. I just never took the time to go through it.
It will get lost in the shuffle. Yeah. Whereas on Facebook, they say, hey, this is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Creepy.
Yeah, reminders. Yeah.
So that's, I really don't have a good reason to keep Instagram. I don't use it. I don't care to show myself on Instagram.
Yeah. So Instagram, too, I find myself using it more than Facebook now. But I don't doom scroll on Instagram. I do on Facebook.
Yeah.
But Instagram, I mainly just watch stories, the most recent stories, and because of the algorithms and because of what I've interacted with in the past, Instagram knows what to show me, like the people and profiles that I look at most often.
Right.
And I just quickly watch the stories and then I'm done. I don't really go through the feed on Instagram. And I guess, I mean, obviously I've been using it for this project, for the show, and it's a good way to interact with people that way. I mean,
but that's not, it's,
I don't
it's
post
semi-personal,
anything.
Semi-personal.
Yeah,
right?
I guess. Yeah. But I don't really ever even post. Like if you look at my actual Instagram feed, I almost
that's
never post an actual post. I just post stories sometimes.
Yeah. The last thing I post is when we went to Gillette a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
For the Bills billboard. And before that, it was something from, I don't even know.
Yeah. Well, so for me, I guess, so you haven't deleted your Facebook account, but you deleted the app. So that was your way of taking a break from it.
Yeah, I do not access Facebook on my phone.
Yeah, I think, so I've done that before just for like a couple weeks at a time just to give myself a break and get myself off of it for a little while, especially when things were really tense, like during the 2020 election and whatever, you know, needing a break from COVID bullshit, misinformation, whatever. And then I think the strategy, though, that you've pushed me to that I've utilized more often in the last couple of years is the unfollow feature or unfriend altogether.
Or just mute.
And I feel like a lot of times when people talk about that strategy, especially if it's unfriending versus unfollowing someone, you can be accused of like being divisive and saying, oh, because someone, you disagree with someone's opinion or you disagree with someone's political leaning, you're just going to like, you know, cut them loose altogether. And I'm like, well, no, but if seeing what they post is constantly aggravating me and stressing me out and just like, and there's nothing I can do about it because saying something isn't going to get me anywhere. Not saying anything doesn't change anything. Like there's just, you're helpless for the most part. I have had a couple of successful interactions with people like over the
quote
years.
Quote unquote, though.
Yeah. I mean, successful in the moment in that they were cordial interactions and it didn't like devolve into a, you know, keyboard warriors on thousands of comments on a post kind of thing. But in the long term, it doesn't change anything. And I don't really, it's not like I have close relationships with those people.
No. And to be clear, that's not a commentary. When I say quote unquote, that's not a commentary on your efforts. It's just a commentary on people's, I think that's their way of saying, well, we definitely disagree, but I don't want to upset you. And I don't like, cause we're going to be in the same space at some point.
Maybe though, but that's what I mean. A lot of these people are people that I'm not really super close with.
Regardless.
And so that's why I got to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm just going to stop following this person. If it's someone who's close to me, like a good friend or a family member who I want to maintain a healthy relationship with, I think it's worth it to have those types of conversations, not on Facebook, separately. And continue the dialogue and share perspectives and keep that moving. I think that's healthy. But if it's an acquaintance from 10 years ago, or like someone I knew in high school that I am never going to see again.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, who the fuck cares?
Well, that's what, you know, in response to what you were saying about you need to have, or the suggestion that you're shutting out opinions and that sort of creates an echo chamber. The way I, and I'm using your words loosely, the way I look at it as, so the digital space is sort of a second home. And I know that seems weird, but we have come so accustomed to going to Facebook, going to any sort of social media platform, that it becomes our second, like our meta life, kind of, not to use that word, you know, cliche, but
yep.
So in real life, I wouldn't want that type of talk in my house.
Sure.
Right. And my timeline is my digital house.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want that in my house. Yep. You can say it, just I'm not going to look at it. Right. And the way I see it is, you know, if I unfollow someone and they're like, if I unfollow someone and I just forget about it, I realize, oh, this person's not really they put up.
That has happened to me where someone's like, oh, did you see so-and-so post yada yada? Or did you see the picture of blah, blah, blah?
I just say,
and
I'm like, stop following.
No, I didn't see that. Maybe they unfriended me. And then I go back and I realize, oh, yeah, that's right. I unfollowed that person like a year and a half ago and I haven't missed them.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. You realize it's no big deal.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a big deal. And chances are you're never going to see this person. Who cares?
Right.
Who cares?
So like, that's me just prioritizing my mental health, because there's no point in spinning your wheels about, you know, people like that.
So, which leads me, I feel like unfriend, unfollow leads to just fucking get rid of it. Like what... There is we haven't even touched the privacy. We haven't even touched the data.
Yeah.
You know, we have not touched any of that. And there are personal, because those to me are personal reasons. It's not personal as it affects me personally, but we have come to value digital data about yourselves as sort of, I don't know, like an identity being sold for sale, being sold.
For profit.
For profit. And it's obviously not my true identity. You know, it's not like an identity hack where someone's getting my credit card, but it is my habits, my interests are being sold. So what's the... Your cousin posted, apparently Amazon Prime is doing a Lord of the Rings thing. Mm-hmm. And I make it so that Facebook has a really difficult time finding out shit that I like, because I just don't like things.
Right.
And he posted, oh man, they're going to make a Amazon Lord of the Rings series. And I liked it. And then not 5 minutes later, just Lord of the Rings shit just fucking blows up on my timeline.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
How? No.
Right.
And I'm at the point where just get rid of it.
Yeah. It's definitely losing its value over time. It's just devolved into, you know, exactly what you're saying is for, have you heard about the, this is kind of going to like misinformation thing, which we're both kind of fascinated by, I think, the Carol experiment, I think they called it.
Yeah. It's a fake profile.
Yeah. It was. And I can't remember if it was which media outlet did it.
I don't know.
But anyway, they,
was it the Times?
I think so. It was a journalist, you know, investigative journalism. And they
liked one conservative thing.
Right. They created the fake profile of a middle-aged white woman who lives in a rural area named Carol, Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. Like, there was no other. She didn't have. And yeah, it was, it took, I think it took 2 days for her to be invited to several groups that were about QAnon. And
that's the thing. I don't get invited to any groups ever.
I don't anymore. But that's one thing, though. I speaking of groups, one thing that is kind of valuable on Facebook, I think, is buy and sell groups, yard sale groups.
Yeah, the marketplace.
Marketplace. But
I enjoy marketplace.
There's also groups like within marketplace that you can like. I'm part of a statewide yard sale group. So if we have junk to sell, you just do it. You post it in that group and it's very active and it's pretty easy to sell things. And it's it feels good to not be wasteful.
No one reads the paper anymore.
Yeah.
Remember the paper?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel that we're at the point where, you know, it's not what it used to be. Facebook in its prime, as I already mentioned, was fun. And maybe it was fun because I was younger.
It was new.
Yes.
Yeah, it was new. For right around the time that we went to college was just a couple years after Facebook started. It was
fairness,
when you still needed a college email address to join.
I don't use TikTok. I don't care about that.
I don't use Snapchat.
Maybe that's indicative of my attitude towards social media, is that I am tapped out when it comes to any new avenue of social media usage.
Yeah, I don't have the energy. Any social media that I use, it's mostly for browsing and doing things like events, marketplace, things like that.
With the exception of Space Hay.
What the hell is that?
Space Hay is
the new MySpace.
The new MySpace. They took the whole design of my, it looks legit.
Are you going to create an account on Trump's new social media platform?
No.
Since you got a personal invitation via text message?
Yeah, I actually responded and saying fuck right off. But yeah, everybody go to Space Hay. If you're a MySpace kid, you know, MySpace with you, we're talking to you. go to Space Hay. Go to Space. Yeah, you've been mentioned. Drink. All right. Yeah, Space Hay. Maybe I'll do that because it's old school.
Yeah.
It looks like 2005.
It's nostalgic. Mm-hmm.
It really does.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know if you have anything more you want to say on the topic.
No, I think everything else that we want to touch on will be captured in the polls.
All right. Let's take a break and we'll be right back.
Side note, just because we're talking about polls, before we posted the polls for this topic for this week's episode, we did a general poll about how many people were currently in our situation being quarantined or isolated, because the number of COVID cases is just insane right now.
Right.
And more than half the people that responded said yes.
Oh, wow.
They are either they or their kids are quarantined or in isolation right now.
It's rough.
Yeah. Luckily, our daughter got a negative test today, so we dodged that bullet again from a daycare exposure. So hopefully everyone who's in that sort of situation has a similar outcome. But
well, we still have to take a PCR on Tuesday.
Well, we don't have to because she didn't test positive, but we already had that
still
scheduled
rapid.
Because...
Could be fucked.
But she's not symptomatic.
Doesn't
she's
matter.
6 days in.
I don't
want to
talk about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, whatever. I think we're good. But anyway, I think a lot of people have more time on their hands than they normally would, similar to the beginning of the pandemic. But except for those parents who are both working and caring for their kids at the same time while they're quarantined, because that's fun.
Right.
So I think we had pretty good participation in our polls, I think, because everyone's bored out of their mind.
Doom scrolling, man.
Yeah, exactly. So the first question that we asked was, have you ever deleted Facebook altogether, like deleted your account? And it was pretty close, but 40% of people said yes, they have deleted their Facebook at some point.
Also, I should know, I've never, you know, I talked a big game. I've deleted my Facebook before. I've never deleted it. I have deactivated it. You have to go through this long, drawn out process to get rid of your shit. Like, wipe your cyber history of Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's never
gone.
And then
it's never really gone. Yeah.
But you can, I have deactivated.
Okay. That's probably what people meant. I think I put deleted, but I think most people interpreted that as what you're saying.
Yeah.
Especially since the next question was, if you did delete your Facebook, did you come back?
Right.
Or, if you deleted your Facebook, did you come back? And 70% said yes.
There you go.
So most people have not deleted their Facebook. 60% have not deleted their Facebook. And even of the 40% who have deleted it, 70% came back.
Right.
So that's, you know, if you do the math, there's a very small handful of people who deleted it and did not come back.
Right.
So I guess, and then we followed up with some, you know, open-ended questions about if you deleted it and came back, what made you come back? Or if you have never deleted it, what makes you stick around?
Okay.
So, we just talked about what kind of makes us stick around. And I'll read some of the actual answers. But a couple of things that I was thinking about in terms of content that makes me stick around. You know, we already talked about groups and some of the other useful things that we found. But I appreciate seeing, even though I take this with a huge grain of salt, because there's always misinformation out there on any social media platform, but I have learned some useful parenting hacks on social media.
You know what I'm a sucker for? Those really fast-paced DIY kind of thing. Like, you can clean your home with this, or you can...
Oh, like the new cleaning solutions I just made?
No. Like, you can have empty toilet paper roll things. Well, you can use them for this and turn them into this. And I'm always like, I'll never do it, but I like looking at it because it's in, you know, they speed up the time of the video and stuff. It's time lapsed.
Yes. Oh, I got sucked down the rabbit hole of watching like cleaning ASMR one time.
Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah. And I don't think it's really the ASMR for me. It's just like watching things get clean is really satisfying. Two of the parenting hacks that I found on social media, one was the magic burp.
Yes.
And
that was a good one.
And I saw that on Facebook, not Instagram. That was on a Facebook reel. If you don't know what that is and you have an infant or you're expecting a baby, check it out. It works. And the other one is one that was just shared by someone who I follow. And she's also quarantined with her kids and getting creative to try to work. She shared the idea of snack bins for her two toddlers, which is like just having a bit, like she put all of their food for the entire day, lunchbox, and then a shit ton of snacks in the fridge on the bottom shelf, and was like, when you guys are hungry, go to your snack bin. Don't bother me.
Until they, you know, go into each other's snack bin.
Well, they were color-coded and had their favorite stuff in it, whatever.
It's not gonna stop
took a little prep, but she said that it avoided meltdowns and like the constant every 5 minutes, can I have a snack, when you're trying to work from home.
Gotcha.
So I'll probably use that at some point.
Teaching independence too.
Yes. That's and good. Teaching them to like, oh, ration sounds bad. It's not like they have a limited
how to
amount.
Open a fridge.
But you know what I mean? It teaches them to like eat what's going to satisfy them, you know? Okay. So some of the responses we got about what keeps you there or what made you come back. I like the cringe sometimes.
Okay. So that's.
So that's like a doom scrolling. What were you going to say?
What is the term for it? That's like almost masochism.
Yeah.
Right? It's car crash.
Pretty much.
You don't like it.
Right.
But
you can't look
it.
Away.
Yeah.
There are a couple people I follow who are... For all the people that I've unfriended or unfollowed because they pissed me off, there are also a few accounts that I just can't. I can't look away from.
I don't have that problem.
Yeah. I can't help it. So I get that. So there were a couple people, other parents, who said similar things about us, like, and it speaks to your point about things being local. You know, one person said, Facebook tells me about local events, like kid stuff at the library, like, you know, local community stuff that's happening. to keep them busy with their family, and also the Buy Nothing groups.
Yeah.
Those are clutch. Someone said, my mom is on it, so I feel like I have to stay on now.
I mean,
like, keep up.
Probably said that 75% joking, but I'm assuming this person's mom is a boomer.
Yes.
And boomers would take offense. They would take offense to it. They would say, why aren't you my friend anymore?
Yeah.
You know, oh, I deleted it. Well, why?
Well, I think this is also a common thing. I think there are a lot of people who said, you know, wanting to be able to share pictures of their family and their kids with their relatives and whatever. And I think that kind of gets at this, that, I mean, if it's your mom, it's not that hard to, like, text a picture to your mom or whatever.
Aunts.
But, yeah, it's...
It's aunts.
It's aunts. It's, yeah.
It's aunts.
Yeah. You're right. Who are on Facebook. And that's their only way of really ever seeing pictures of your kids. And it's, I mean, that's the, you got to give the people what they want, I guess.
It's aunts.
But I know for sure that this person, this person's mom does see a lot of pictures of her grandkids on Facebook and gets very excited about it. So,
but that's not atypical,
right?
Of grandmas,
you're right. Yeah,
and this, I sound so high and mighty when I say just use Tiny Beans because that's what we use. And then when you suggest using another app for pictures, it's like they act like it's they being those that you're telling, hey, we're using this for, at least in our experience. We're using this for photo sharing of our children. It's like a fucking marathon. Oh, I got to download an app.
Yeah.
Oh, I got to sign up.
Log
yeah.
In.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. With like everything else.
Right. One time.
Yes. That's it. That's it. And again, if you don't care, that's fine.
Yeah.
I don't expect you to. But it's what I'm going back to is you don't need Facebook to share photos. And I understand it's convenient. Everyone's there. Right. And I also am sympathetic to the notion of, oh, my parents just, they won't understand how to download an app. I'll have to do it for them. Or I'll have to sign them up.
Or they forget to check it if they don't enable notifications.
And they'll forget their password and stuff. And, you know, I with Facebook, it's very convenient. It's right there. But at the same time, going back to privacy, going back to...
You're sharing it with everybody.
Yeah. I just don't like, personally, maybe you don't give a shit. I just don't like the idea of having my children on a platform that has serious security issues and data issues. Maybe Tiny Beans does as well, but to my knowledge, they don't. It's relatively unknown. And now it's paywall.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, we talked about this a lot in that other episode, but I think for our generation, it seems so innocent and so like, well, that's just what you do because you share your life on social media. That's what it's for. And my kids are a huge part of my life. So what else am I going to share?
Right.
Like, that's probably why I don't share very many things. Because we don't share pictures of our kids. And what the fuck else do I do? Like,
this.
Yeah, there's nothing for me to really share. So I think it's, I think it's really easy to just, like, not think about it. And just, because I think we still think about Facebook like what it was 10 years ago.
Yes.
And it's evolved or devolved so much.
Yeah, I'm sympathetic to.
Oh, I get why people do it. Totally.
Children sharing, and my mom's gonna be mad because. No, it's funny, but they kind of take it personally. If you're,
if you don't want
it,
to,
yeah,
I know, and because, and then they can't share pictures with their friends on Facebook, for their friends or their other, you know, relatives or whatever to see their grandkids. They want to show.
And it's not like this was an issue before, right? Before social media, there was no sharing of photos. But now
you mail them in a Christmas card.
If you did it at all. But now, or they'd come over and look in your photo album. But now,
or come over and see your kids.
Yeah. Now that it's an option, it's just, whoa, I don't want to take that away.
Yeah.
If I take that away, what?
They feel disconnected.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a lot of that of people saying, you know, staying connected with people, staying connected to friends and family being able to see our kids, stay updated on things. So and then I had one person who said seeing babies and puppies.
I get the pets.
It's a quick and easy way to see photos from my friends' kiddos from afar. So people who live far away. I mean,
again, we can call to several different options, at least one being Tiny Beans.
I mean, I do. So part of me feels like kind of a, not that, I feel like kind of a hypocrite because I do enjoy seeing people, updates of people's kids who I don't see very often, especially during COVID. Like, I know, I know you don't, but like, even people I don't really talk to very much, I'm like, oh, wow, their kid did their first dance recital. Oh, that's cool. That's great. They like, whatever. I mean, it's not like life altering updates that I need to see, but I don't like it. I enjoy seeing it sometimes. I don't know.
The kids that I care about, I talk to their parents.
Yeah. Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
You know, and that sounded cold. The ones that I, you know, care to have those minuscule life updates.
Sure, right. Things, you know, that aren't milestones.
I talk to the parents often. I work with the father of my goddaughter, so
sure.
I get the input on her. But I want to offer a little bit of pushback when it comes to keeping in touch with people. Like, I'm sorry, that to me is no longer valid. Because there are other avenues to do that. And yes, I understand there are some people that you just don't want to exchange phone numbers with.
Yeah,
I get it.
I mean, but I also think there are some people who you may have not spoken to in a while, but then you end up connecting over a certain
topic. It's more, it's an insurance. It's maybe I'll get back to this person.
No, so for me, I know you're just joking, but there have been a few people that I've connected with over... you know, like when I was doing the campaign stuff in 2020, I've connected with a lot of people on social media who at least one has become a pretty close friend of mine over by sharing about our miscarriages.
Sure.
I mean, like, there are things like that that, I mean, I would have never otherwise talked
but
to this
person.
But
those are anomalies.
I don't really know. I mean, that specific one is an anomaly. But I just feel like people do reconnect over certain things, current events or things that happen in your life or whatever. For people, if you are sharing it on Facebook, you're bound to end up finding someone who shares a similar experience and you might find support through that. That's all.
I'm just saying, if you really want to keep up with people, if they're that, I'm just speaking on personal experience. And again, my experience isn't the experience. I'm not, you know, projecting what's happening with me onto everybody else and saying this is the way it ought to be. It's just with me, if I want to keep in touch with someone, I'm going to take the extra step or get their phone number or something and text them. Don't fucking call me. Text them. And that's that. And a lot of the people that are in my, I constantly just go through my friends list. I'm like, no, I don't talk to you. I don't talk to you. I don't talk
Clean
to
it
you.
Up.
And it's not that I don't like you. It's just, I don't fucking talk to you anymore.
Yeah.
And I have found myself in the past being like, well, you know, I don't want to upset this person. I don't want them to think that something's up, but like, it's not that I don't like you. It's just I don't talk to you.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I feel like that was valid years ago. Keep in touch on Facebook. I don't think that's a valid excuse anymore.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I just still see some opportunities for connection, especially the last couple of years when we haven't been able to see people in person. And you're
keep in touch is not reestablishing connection.
Sure. I guess it's a little bit different. So there are some other folks who said things like, honestly, I have no idea. I don't really know why. Couple people that agreed that Instagram content is more where they go now. They don't know why they're still on Facebook.
Also probably business related when it comes
to
Instagram.
Yes, we had one person like who specifically mentioned a photography business that they promote on Facebook. It's more successful promoting
Facebook
there.
Facebook than Instagram?
Yeah, Facebook.
Oh, wow.
I think they do both, but they specifically mentioned promoting photography business on Facebook.
Okay.
And we have someone else who mentioned deleting the app like you did.
Yeah.
This person's deleted the app for 6 years and it pretty much removed Facebook from their life. But like you, they realize they can use other functions like Messenger and groups still.
Yeah.
So that was their approach.
I just think, you know, when it comes to startups and businesses, it's advantageous. We didn't even mention that. Friends of ours have their own little business selling products. And obviously you need some social media, not to necessarily sell it, but to advertise it. And to me, that's no different than what we're doing with the podcast. you know, with the podcast, it's its own form of audio social media. So having polls and stuff, yeah. we wouldn't be able to do this.
Right, to interact.
Without social media. Mm-hmm. So that's in the benefit of creating content and maybe creating controversy, depending on the topic.
Sure.
Depending on how people feel about listening when they do. But it's more of, I don't know, I'm sympathetic to people that have startups or small businesses.
Yeah.
And use social media to promote.
Sure.
That's yeah. more of a, we're in that period of time where if you don't have a social media account for your business or your podcast or whatever it is, you're not going to be successful in it. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, I just want to do this for fun. No, you want to be successful in what you do. You don't put in the man hours to do something just for fun.
Right.
Yeah. It is fun, but it's, you want it to be
so
interactive.
The friends you were just referring to who have that business, do they get more out of Facebook or Instagram?
Instagram.
Yeah. So that was our next question to the polls was, if you're not on Facebook, but obviously you're here on Instagram answering our polls, what is different? Or what do you think is different? Not, I guess that was a question. For everyone, not only if you don't have Facebook, but specifically what makes yeah. Instagram more appealing or makes it different, given that they are owned by the same company at the end of the day. So there were a couple people who said the same thing that I've said, is that it's more visual and it's less of the, to me, there's not that there's not misinformation on Instagram. Obviously there is, but it's
yeah.
not like, you don't put out a whole post with a bunch of text that's just like full of bullshit. Like,
yes,
but yes. Yeah, I don't really know how to describe it, but, to me, Instagram is more visual. It was developed to be more visual. And I know that the babes had some comments on that. Didn't necessarily agree.
Drink.
Sarah. but, I mean, it's a good point because now Instagram has, because it's owned by Facebook, is becoming more and more. It's probably only a matter of time before it becomes just as awful as Facebook has become.
Yeah.
And you can do things like, you know, they have stories, which Facebook does too, but it's supposed to be like a quick thing. But now you realize they have the function where you hold it to read whatever it is. Yeah. So people can post long ass texts like, yeah. you know, diatribes on an Instagram story and you just hold it down and you read the whole thing. It's the same thing as a fucking Facebook post.
Yeah, I don't have time for that.
So in some ways, it's not all that different. But there were a couple people who agreed that there are some differences and that they're more drawn to Instagram for that reason. All photos, no links to shitty articles.
Sure.
So that's, I think, legit. Same person who said, I just want to see babies and puppies.
Yeah.
less mindless scrolling.
I can't necessarily agree there, but I understand.
I agree with that. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm more apt to mindless scroll on Facebook than Instagram.
Okay.
Someone else said there's a level of control of what you see on Instagram versus Facebook.
I think more than, yes, because like I said, if depending on privacy settings on Facebook, if you comment on something, I will see that comment to the post even if I don't follow the post.
Right. Yep.
So that infiltrates my newsfeed.
Yeah.
Whereas on Instagram, primarily, Instagram does do suggestions now. Accounts, you might like this picture or this.
Sure.
But it's not based on,
especially in the reels.
Yeah. I think
it might be based
on who else follows that account that I follow.
Right. It's based on who you follow. It's based on what you've liked. It's based on stories you've watched.
Yes.
It's everything.
But Twitter, I feel you have ultimate control. Of the three, you have ultimate control.
More control. I still wouldn't say ultimate because it's still based on things you like and retweet and people you follow and hashtags that you're constantly looking at.
It's usually part of, you know, I can't say that Twitter doesn't get toxic.
I think it depends because you're so like
sports
niche in what you do on Twitter.
Yes.
I think you have a different experience than people who just browse it or use it more socially. So more control on Instagram, and I enjoy the scrolling addiction. So some people who said that there's less mindless scrolling on Instagram, and some people who said that they're more apt to scroll, and they actually kind of enjoy it. The same person who said that they like the cringe. So
that's concerning.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Right. one person said that, honestly, Facebook was destroying their relationship with their significant other.
I can see it.
There was just so much mindless scrolling that it was...
distracting.
Yeah.
I can
too
see
much.
It.
And they find that there's less mindless scrolling for both of them on Instagram.
We do it. We
yep.
get into fights
yes.
about it.
Yep.
We do it. I get it. I'm the dopamine drop is real.
It is. And the last answer I thought was worth highlighting is that Instagram has less drama. I felt like that might be
a
controversial
true.
Take. Yeah, I don't know if that's true either.
Maybe when it comes to like groups
yeah.
and political stuff. Because to me, it's an effort to read all the comments on Instagram.
Yes,
with
it is.
Facebook, it's there.
But it's very similar in that like someone can tag you in a comment and start shit.
But to go
There's
through
trolls
all
on
the,
both.
All of them. It's so condensed and compact.
It's true. You have to hit view more replies,
yeah,
view more
I just,
replies.
I'm good.
And you can't, it's not as easy to see who liked a reply. Maybe I'm just being a boomer and I don't know.
I don't know.
But I feel like, yeah, it's more ambiguous on Instagram. Like you said,
it takes more of an effort. Yes.
But I do think Instagram is worse for DMs and bullying and trolls and DMs. I just hear about that from like some of the accounts that I follow that are celebrity accounts or some of the accounts that are like public health experts who have been trying to debunk anti-vax stuff and
yeah.
COVID misinformation, and they get trolled like crazy sure. in their DMs. Sure. And just bullying and stuff I know happens via
Can't
Instagram messages. But and I see it in the comments too. I mean, it happens. It just happens everywhere. But
can't avoid it.
Yeah, you can't avoid it. But I do agree with that notion that it seems to be less in your face on Instagram,
well,
unless you're the recipient.
We
it.
Got attacked on Instagram.
We did.
So,
but it was very short-lived.
I mean, everything is.
Yeah.
There is a 2-week rule. Everybody yeah. forgets about everything 2 weeks later.
Yeah.
People are outraged.
Well,
if
we didn't,
you're still
we didn't,
outraged.
We didn't stir the pot with that. We just, we cordially replied to one of them, and then we not ignored, but we just kind of like let it sit to see what would happen.
Nothing happened.
And nothing happened.
Nothing happened.
So.
It's, I shouldn't say fake outrage, because there are things that people should be upset about. But when it comes to just internet drama, wait 2 weeks.
It's not worth it.
Chances are people are gonna forget about it.
Yeah.
I don't remember what happened 2 weeks ago. What, 2 weeks ago was Christmas, I think?
I have no idea. I don't know what day it is.
Was there a controversy? It was. Yeah. 2 weeks ago was Christmas. Was there a controversy online? I don't remember.
I don't know.
Yeah.
We don't go on social media that
I'm talking
well,
about. I don't
yeah.
know.
We
don't
really
know.
Participate.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All I know is that I lost the fantasy championship if you made it this far. And the Bills won the AFC East, so I'm good.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else? Any other replies?
No, that was it for the polls. Yeah.
Okay.
But we wanted to mention the irony of, unrelated to the topic, that when we went to record our first attempt.
Yeah, this is over a 2-night span.
Yeah. Well, actually, no, we didn't attempt it, but
we just acknowledged it.
We acknowledged that after we just went on a whole, you know, thing about how we've two daughters now, and but it's never going to be while they're napping because they're never going to nap at the same time.
They
napped at the same fucking time. And we were didn't know what to do with ourselves in the middle of the afternoon, and we didn't think that the nap was going to last long enough to actually get the whole episode done, so we didn't bother.
It
and ended up being like 3 hours. Yes.
Well, in fairness, like we said at the top of the episode, we had COVID shit that we think.
Well, we thought, but it turns out to have just been some kind of a stomach bug, but our daughter was really sick and she ended up sleeping for a long time.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're not saying we hope for that again, but it was just ironic because we just talked about how that was never going to happen.
No, we just cleaned the house.
Yep, we did. We went into deep cleaning mode.
That's it.
Picking up on some of that, the ASMR cleaning reels.
Yeah. So this is the part where we talk about where to get in contact with us if you want to talk about anything about the polls, which seems kind of shitty because we just chat all over social media.
And how we don't use it, but we do for this. We don't use it much for our personal accounts, but we are primarily using Instagram, which is at While She's Napping. We are also on Facebook at facebook.com/whileshesnapping and kind of on Twitter at She's Napping.
No, don't even, we don't,
we don't
Twitter
even. Yeah, at, Twitter's all you. So if you're not doing it, neither am I. And we do use email. So you can always email us at whileshesnapping@gmail.com.
Yeah, I don't let that inbox run up.
Right.
I don't. All right. Don't know what the next topic is going to be, but check out our social medias.
Mm-hmm. And let us know if you have an idea for a topic you want us to cover.
And that's where you're going
to
find out. Yep. So, okay. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye.